Jesus is presenting prayer. Matthew's recording it. And it is a function of the kingdom. It's just a function of living in the kingdom. It's kind of like breathing. How many of you know that the best time to breathe is when the air is readily available, not when somebody's trying to push your head under the water? And prayer is the same way. Sometimes we save prayer for when we feel like we're going under, but the best time to pray is when the air is readily available. I'm going to read from verses 5 to 15 again. We've read this a couple of times. We spent a couple of weeks just on verses 5 to 8, and we're going to move on today. But it says, when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you're praying, don't use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they'll be heard for their many words. So don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Again, I dedicated 2 weeks to verses 5 to 8. There's a lot in there. There's a lot of context in there for what Jesus is about to say. And last week, we spent time considering prayer from the standpoint of opportunity as opposed to obligation. And this has probably been one of the biggest challenges my whole life in regard to prayer, because it always felt like an obligation, right? It's an obligation. It's something I should do. It's a good thing to do. Yep. So is eating carrots. But an opportunity. You know, isn't it funny that some of the most when I was younger, I had a few people come to me and they say, Brent, I've got an opportunity for you. You just can't pass up. Right, whenever somebody starts a conversation like that, I'm leery. Right, opportunity means that, like right now, there's an opportunity to get a shovel. Right, all right. So, but prayer is an opportunity. It's not an obligation, and addressing prayer that way changes how we'll approach it, time after time after time, so we spent time on that. And the opportunity is far more relational oriented than production oriented. Now, I say that, it's not that we don't ask God for things in prayer, but the opportunity is to know God. Like, that's the reward. That's the reward. And you go, I can think of some better things, but I would say if you can think of better things than knowing God, then you probably have not really stood in his presence. Because the psalmist says, in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. There is nothing greater than knowing God. And that is what we will spend eternity doing. And just in case you think that might be boring, it says in Revelation that there are angels that stand before him that have been falling down for millennia, singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And every time they look, they see a new facet of God. And they fall down again. And that's just, right? I think sometimes one of the hindrances to our prayers is that we've made God smaller than he is, and we make him manageable so that we can do a little better. And so then that's who we know, is this God that I can manage. And prayer is a tool to get him to do what I need him to do, when really prayer is the opportunity to know him as he is and as he's created you in his image. Prayer is an opportunity. And the opportunity being far more relational oriented. As I address prayer, as I embrace prayer, that's first on my list, before the list, is to know him. I want to know you. Because Jesus already told us, like, your Father knows what you need. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask. And honestly, if you think about it, there's probably, when it comes to worldly needs, there's probably somebody in the world that could meet your need. But there is nobody that can replace God in your life, right? And so it's prayer is by far more relational than it is production-oriented. And that's for me when I come to embrace it that way, to go, well, God, I'm not just here to give you my list. I want to know you, because you said the reward of practicing righteousness in this way is face-to-face relationship with you. And I desire that. I desire that. So we just spent some time on that. And Jesus is going to springboard from that thought into what we're going to consider today that Matthew wrote down for us. And it's my personal opinion. Everybody's got them, right? This is my opinion. This isn't maybe anybody else's opinion, but it's my opinion as your pastor. It's my personal opinion that Jesus' address to these people has far more to do with heart posture than it does giving us a pattern to try to shoehorn prayer into. Because Jesus is going to say some things, and if you just take it off the page and run away with it, you go, well, this is the pattern. He said, pray this way, pray like this, right? But I think this has far more to do with heart posture than it does with pattern. Patterns don't always work. Heart posture is always appropriate. And in Isaiah 29:13, and again, I believe in Matthew, there's a couple of places in the New Testament that this passage is quoted, but look at what Isaiah says. He says, then the Lord said, because this people draws near me with their words and honors me with their lips, but they remove their heart far from me, and their reverence for me consists of traditions learned by rote. Rote means repetition, taught by men. So here God chastises them for having a pattern without heart. So I think if Jesus is going to teach us something, I don't think he's just going to come and give us a pattern, because what do we do with patterns? We build fences, and fences are just obligatory. You stay on your side, I'll stay on my side. I've done the bit. That's good enough for today. I'm going about my business. And God goes, man, I've given you so much more than that. So when Jesus teaches, this isn't fence building material. This isn't just a pattern that we shoehorn prayer into. This is a heart posture. And there is so much posture in what he says, and how I posture myself before the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about the fear of the Lord. And fear of the Lord isn't this, it's a posture. It's a posture. I recognize who he is, and I stand in awe of him. Now, there is a part of that awe that goes, wow, one wrong move and I'm a crispy critter. But there's also a part of that awe that says, out of all this, you've chosen me and you allow me to be here. And there's a tension in that of this awe of love and this awe of, it's different, but I enjoy the ocean, right? Now, I've never been to the East Coast, but I've been to the West Coast quite a few times. And there's places that we stop and I like to watch the waves come in. And I stand and I look at that water and I so enjoy it, but I also have an awe that says, there is so much power there, I could be swept away in a second. And so I stand, I'm cautious. Like we stopped at a place, I can't remember, I should look up the name of it. I've seen it on postcards. But anyway, it's a rock formation, and there's a few openings in this rock. And when the tide is out, it's dry. But when the tide's coming in, all of a sudden, I mean, it fills up quickly. And so I'm a fisherman, and I'm down looking, going, oh, I could probably fish in here. And I'm standing down there, and I look up, and all of a sudden, I see this wave coming. And I'm like, wow, that really looks tall. Hey, that's still coming. Hey, this place is filling up with water, and I'm scrambling up the rocks. I probably went up 10 feet, and just in a split second, the area where I was standing was just full of water. I mean, just, and it didn't just come in. It came in like that. And I'm like, I was like 2 seconds from being dead. There's an awe of the power that is there. And it's the same way with the Lord. It's a posture of heart. I'm not afraid of the water, but I understand the power of the water. And so I treat it a certain way. Okay, posture. I think Jesus is about to teach us how to get the heart engaged in prayer in any opportunity. Because prayer is an opportunity, which means that it's appropriate at any time, which is what the Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. Don't miss any opportunity to pray, an appropriate opportunity. And if that is what it is an opportunity to know God in any situation, right? That's what prayer is an opportunity to know God in any situation. Prayer isn't the fix-it tool. Prayer is the get-to-know-him tool. God, I want to know you here. So let's see what Jesus has to say about the posture of heart in prayer and the opportunity. So if prayer is an opportunity for relationship with God, then Jesus is giving us the keys to open the gift and the means of experiencing great reward. So Jesus told us if we just practice this before men to look righteous, and I will tell you this, if you practice it before men to look righteous, you will try to do the same thing with God, like he doesn't know the difference. So he said there's no reward in that. You've got your reward. But he said when you do it with the right posture, there is great reward. So Jesus is giving us the keys of great reward, right? Yeah, he is. I want to take the opportunity to harvest all that God has placed before me. I want to know him, so I want to know him in prayer. So, and remember that reward is God's presence. It is. That is the greatest reward. Probably not the only reward, but certainly the greatest reward. So, Matthew 6:9, Jesus says, pray in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. I could spend 2 weeks on that verse. This week, the Spirit of God just began to, and I ponder these things and I think about them. And as I sat down, and I began to look at this, God just began to open this up. So prayer is meaningful communication. And as such, so I'm dealing with the Jesus says, pray in this way. We've already talked about, I don't believe that's pattern. I think it's posture. Pray with this disposition of heart. Approach the Father this way. Our Father who is in heaven. Prayer is meaningful communication and as such recognizes who it is I am in conversation with. My Father who is above all in heaven. I think that is such an important disposition of heart, irregardless of whether I'm, what I'm doing. Peter says something along those lines. He says, if you address him as Father, what type of person ought you to be? It's a posture of heart. It's a posture of heart because the in the Jewish culture, people could do great at looking good on the outside, but inside, they were full of dead men's bones. That's what Jesus said. So this condition of heart. And so Jesus says, take this posture. My Father, who is above all in heaven, who is seated above all, who rules over all. I'm coming to know you. I'm coming to know you. And I think along with that, it for me has always been important to understand who it is that I'm approaching. Because when we lose sight of who it is we're approaching, I put here, be on guard against manipulation or entitlement creeping into the opportunity. Always stand in awe of who is with you. Always stand in awe of who is with you. Now, when I say that, that is a place of being totally vulnerable and totally real. But as I'm real, I remember who it is that I'm standing before. But it doesn't mean that I try to fake it. Right? Isn't that kind of when you go, I'll never forget who you stand for. Okay, I got to get all cleaned up. No. He said, bring me all that you are. But as you stand there and I begin to work in your life, remember who it is who's working on you. Right? Because like when I go stand before the doctor and he's supposed to know what he's doing and he comes and begins to work on me and he might begin to correct me in some of my behavior, what am I going to do? I'm going to start making excuses about it. Well, you know, it's like this because of this and because of this and because of this. And Jesus said, no. When you go to stand before your Father, remember who it is you're standing before, the Lord of all, who is seated in heaven. It's a posture. It's a posture. And so he tells us how to approach the throne. Now, it's interesting. When we get to the end, Hebrews 4 tells us to come boldly before the throne of God. What's the boldness based on? His righteousness. Right? That's my entrance into his presence, is the gift of righteousness in Christ Jesus. And so I come boldly through that, but I never forget who it is I'm standing before. Hallowed be your name. Translated, let your name be kept holy. So, God, here I am. I posture myself before you. I understand who it is. I mean, you know, when you go out some night and just look up into the sky and you can find yourself standing in awe of who God is. I mean, it just, there's a series John Bevere did, and I can't remember the name of it offhand, but he talks about the greatness of God and the breadth and the width and the depths that we can't comprehend about God, and standing in awe of that. And Jesus says, do that. And then the next line, he says, as we come with that heart posture, is the attitude of God, let your name be kept holy. Let your name be kept holy. Now, there's a whole lot more in that, because you've got to consider that prayer is an opportunity, right? It's not an obligation. I'm not just going to say some nice things to try to make God feel good about who I am. I'm going there to know him. And so this is something Jesus is telling us to consider, God, that your name would be kept holy, because like God doesn't have any problem with keeping his name holy himself. Okay? And holiness is the strength of God's character. And so when you begin to talk about keeping his name holy, God has no problem keeping his character holy. Where is the holiness going to fall short? In me. So here I come. I should read this. I'm getting off. Where is your name kept holy? In me and in my living. Now I want to put that in the context of any given opportunity. Jesus said, any opportunity is appropriate. Come before the Father. Understand who you're standing before, but let this be your heart posture. Let your name be kept holy right here in this situation in me. hallowed be your name. Let your name be kept holy right here in this situation in me. Holiness is the strength of God's character. So the reality of those four words goes like this. Let your holy character remain intact in my life right here in this situation. Now, I can tell you, I can find 1,000 places next week to pray that. Isn't that what happens to us? Is the character of God gets out of joint in different situations? And then we're back trying to do cleanup in prayer. I want to start in the right place. Because if I recognize that at any given moment, I am standing in his view, which is the reality of how we live. He is everywhere at once. He is always present. He doesn't just come when I pray. He's already there. But all of a sudden, I'm acknowledging and realizing, oh God, I stand before you. God, would you please help me? Because like right now, I'm about to let your character get out of joint in my life in this situation. And what you came to do in me was to see your character grow in me so that I would be a representation of Christ here on this earth. Hallowed be your name in my life. Now that's posture. That's posture. And it has far more concern with God and his character than it does with the situation that's pressing on me. Because we've already acknowledged God knows what needs to happen. But he goes, what do you care about more? Do you care about our relationship most? Or just having the situation resolved so you can move on? Because let's be honest, the situation's going to come up again. I've never gotten out of anything in this life. You solve one little problem. How many of you have ever watched any of the Marvel movies? Okay, so I've watched some. And if you watch the first Captain America, you learn there's this group called Hydra, right? And their motto is cut off one head and two more come back. And that's the way it is with problems in this life. You cut off one, two more are coming back. So what's most important, getting the problem solved or knowing God in the midst? So when we take this posture of these two things, God, you are above all, you are holy, I stand in awe of who you are. God, I want your character to remain intact in my life as I process this situation. This is why prayer is an opportunity, because there are opportunity after opportunity after opportunity each day to posture myself this way. I don't have to run away. I do it in the moment most of the time. I don't say it out loud. My prayer isn't for the person or the situation standing in front of me. It's to remind me of the posture of my heart and the things that are most important in God's kingdom. God, let your character remain intact. Think about what Jesus is revealing here, because so many times, and if you were to ask people or if you were to present this thought, they would say, yes, this is what I want. But this is the reality of it. Think about what Jesus is revealing. No matter what the situation, Jesus has shown us how to put God and his glory right in the center of it. When Jesus said, hallowed be your name, that's exactly what he did. He said, when you pray, keep God front and center, his glory, in his name to be honored above all. If you ask somebody, would you like to keep God in the center of everything you do? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Then posture yourself like this and avail yourself to the opportunity to do this. Somehow or another, I kind of feel like God should just come and wave a wand and make this happen. But Jesus said, no, when you pray, pray like this. Posture your heart like this. Verse 10, Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If I start in the right place with the right posture, saying, God, well, this is an opportunity for your character to remain intact in my life so that your name is kept holy. God, my I'm caught in attention right there, though. I want to say that. Because it's I have a reality that I'm facing. Like, this is going to happen. And I'm addressing a God who is unseen. And, you know, at times, I don't know what he's going to do. That creates tension, doesn't it? I want to honor your name, but I want to know that it's going to be worth it, is kind of what I'm saying. Right? Isn't that an honest statement? I want to honor your name, but I want to know that it's going to be worth it. That, to me, when I find myself in that, and you know, we don't always vocalize what we think, but we'll think it, is an opportunity to look and to go, God, I need to know you more, because I never want to fall on that again. God, of course it is worth it to know you. Of course it is far greater to do it your way and say easier. But this is the best way. This is the best way. And that's why I say prayer must be more relational than production-oriented, because if it's production-oriented, I'm going to experience disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. Want to know why? Because I'm not getting to know the one I'm praying to. If I'm ever going to leave something with him, I have to trust him. And if I can't leave it with him, that just means I don't trust him. Which means I want to posture my heart differently to know him. Because it's not that God doesn't want to answer prayers, but let's be honest, he's more concerned with you knowing him than rectifying some temporary situation that isn't going to matter in eternity. He is eternal. You are eternal. He doesn't want any surprises when you get there, like, hey, who are you? Because Jesus told us there's going to be people show up in heaven. God's going to say, I don't know who you are. Wow. They had a pattern, but they had no posture. Okay. So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, this is posture of heart. And what Jesus says is when you pray, the posture is you have a plan. God, you have a plan and a kingdom that I can't always see. But talk to me so I can partner with you in the practice of your righteousness. It is most important to me that your kingdom comes and your will gets done. That is relational, and that is posture. Right? It takes out all of my assumptions about what God's will is and what his kingdom looks like, and just simply says, God, you know, I postured myself to say that you're above all. So, like, I haven't got you figured out yet. Thank goodness. I want your character to remain intact in my life in this situation, which means there is an opportunity for his character to get out of joint. And God, I am embracing the unknown because I'm with you. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. As opposed to what? My kingdom come, my will be done. I'm making a choice. Jesus said, posture yourself this way. Like, your Father has a plan. Do you want to know what it is? Because the Lord confides in those who fear him. And he wants you to know. But when you come, posture your heart this way. It is much easier to posture my heart and lean into my kingdom and my will, because those are the realities that I face every day. But Jesus said, the goal isn't just to get things done. The goal is to know your Father. That's the reward. So posture your heart to know him. Are you interested in knowing what he's doing with his kingdom? In this moment, right here where you're standing. Because remember last year, you remember what last year's first sermon was? It was the importance of today. This is the most important day because this is where he's working. Not tomorrow, not the next day. He said, don't worry about those days. Today has enough troubles of its own. In other words, you need to hear from me today. You need to know me today. Posture yourself to know me today because my kingdom is coming and my will be getting done. The question is, will you be participating? And if I really want to participate at the high levels of kingdom activity, then there's only one place I can get my orders. That's from the guy that knows. That would be God, my Father. So Jesus says, posture your heart this way. There is no place in your life where you cannot stop and take the opportunity to pray this line. And really, Jesus is talking to us because he understands our humanity. And it's why he does give us a pattern in a sense of priority. Stop, fear the Lord. God, I recognize my tendency to get out of your character. And now here I am in a situation that's pressing on my life. And so rather than me charging ahead full bore because of these other things, I'm saying, well, God, if I'm going to stay in character, right, your character, then I need to hear from you about this situation and how you would have me proceed. I want to know you. That's a pretty amazing posture. And actually, the times that I've stumbled along and kind of kept in that, maybe even by accident, I've found that the peace of God just keeps getting greater, right? The wholeness that he gives. Why? Because I'm remaining in his presence. I'm not just running off to try to get something done. I'm using prayer as an opportunity to know him. Now, the situation was the opportunity. And I know him in it. We have lots of these. There's so many places we can stop and pray that way. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I was just praying that this morning. Oh, God, I need your help with this because I don't know what to do. And I'm feeling very anxious and I'm feeling angry and I'm upset. And when I do that, my mind tends to get in another gear and go this way. And God, but I want your character to remain intact in my life through this. And God, I'd really like to see you work in this. I'd like to know what you're doing because that's the sure bet right there. anyway, we won't go there. All right. The posture, this posture of heart, your kingdom come, your will be done, keeps God from being compartmentalized in your life. If prayer is just an obligation, God becomes compartmentalized really quickly because I've done my duty, right? I've prayed. Now it's God's job to be at work and all the rest of this stuff that I need done. We've compartmentalized God. He's now the magic wand. He's the one-armed bandit, whatever, wherever you put your hope. I sure hope he shows up today. I prayed, right? No, we compartmentalize, and this posture keeps God from becoming compartmentalized in our lives because now we can know him in any area of our life. Your kingdom come where? Any opportunity. Your will be done where? Any opportunity. But Paul says, pray without ceasing. I'm honest, I don't stop. I don't pray about everything. But you know when life's pressing on you, right? You know when you need help. Those are appropriate opportunities to stop and go, man, God, I need to know you here. Because I think this is important to your kingdom. And I think your character in me is important to you. And I want to see your name be kept holy. So God, let your kingdom come and let your will be done right here. God, would you direct my steps? God, would you bring to my remembrance the things that I need to remember right now? Would you cause your word that has been sown in my heart? I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not violate your character, that I might not sin against you. That's relational posture, right? And the relationship has become most important, even though we're still dealing with an issue. But the relationship has taken priority, understanding that the issue is the opportunity. It's kind of a little bit backwards, maybe from how it gets handled other times. But in verse 33 of this same chapter, chapter 6, Jesus is going to reach back and he's going to draw these first two tenets out and he's going to contrast them against the posture of a worrisome heart. And in verse 33, Matthew 6, 33, Jesus said, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to you." And so if you read the context around that, Jesus is talking about how the people outside of the covenant, the people outside of the relationship, how they worry, how they get things done, the things that they're after. Jesus said, don't worry about all of that stuff. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And again, in that context, righteousness would be how God sees it. Seek how God sees it. God, how do you see it? How do you see this? And it's always process, isn't it? It's always process. We're always in process. So many times, I don't just get a lightning bolt from heaven telling me what to do, but I've postured my heart to be led. And God always leads. I just can't always quantify it. Can't always put my finger on it. But at the end of the day, I can look back and I go, wow, God, thank you that you led me through that, because you want to know what I see. I didn't blow up right there, because if I'd have blown up right there and I'd have let your character get out of joint, oh, what a mess I would have made. Right? You ever done one of those? Oh, I have. Oh, I'm so glad I kept my mouth shut. And there's been times, like, you want to know what's great about this relationship with God? When you posture your heart towards him, there are going to be times he's not going to wait for you to ask, because he knows, God, your relationship with me is the most important thing I have, and he will come to you and he will begin to speak to you before you even ask. And I know that because there's been times when I've been getting ready to do something and I haven't even been close to prayer, and God says, don't do it. Don't do it, Brent. That's costly in a lot of ways. There's times I've heeded that and times I haven't, and the voice has always been right, right? This is a relationship. Like, he's not just standing back and grading you and seeing how he's like, no, I really want you to know me. I really want you to know me. And prayer is an opportunity, and every hardship is an opportunity to know me. I don't want us to miss the reality of the posture Jesus is telling us to take here. It's a posture of embracing the tension of the unknown and not always trying to make all the pieces fit. And Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done. That is an embracing of the unknown, not an opportunity to make all the pieces fit. In this statement, we are giving our amen. Amen means so let it be. We're giving our amen to God's plans and purposes coming to pass, most of which are far beyond my view at this moment. It's my amen to God's plan. Amen. So let it be. So let it be. What an amazing posture Jesus is presenting. Verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. I like this. It just keeps getting more, not real, but you start out recognizing who he is, acknowledging his way, asking for his purposes. And now we're going to begin to show who we are in prayer. We need him. Give us today our daily bread. God, thank you that you are providing what is necessary for today and that you know and care that I need those things. I am expressing need, but I am thanking him that he already knows my need. There's no hiding anything before God, and I think God loves when we express our need for him. I think God is teaching me to be more dependent on him and not more independent because of what I know. I need you more. The more I know you, the more I know I need you. Right? The closer I get to you, the more I see, how much I need you. Right? It's like Isaiah, I'm a person, I'm a man undone. He said, pray like this, give us today our daily bread. I would rather have from your hand what is appropriate for today than to have all my heart's desires by myself. Now, that's posture. That's a posture. God, I am content with you giving me what you know I need today. You know, Moses prayed this. God told him, he was upset, you know, the Israelites had done something again. And God said, well, he said, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to send you guys into the promised land and I'm going to take care of your enemies, but I'm not going to be there with you. I can't dwell with this people. Moses said, God, if you're not going to go with us, then don't send us up. Moses had a posture of heart. There's a reason that Moses knew God. He had a posture of heart that allowed that to happen. And you see it come out of Moses' life again and again when you follow him. I also believe that this statement, give us today our daily bread, is a request for communion with and communication from God. Jesus in the wilderness told Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Right? When Jesus says, give us today our daily bread, he already knows that we need far more than bread to make it through the day. We need to hear from God. And I pray that almost every day. Oh God, please speak to me today. Please reveal yourself today. God, I cannot make it without you. I need the bread that you give. And of course, Jesus tells his disciples,